following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. Hope you're all doing well. I'm back in the studio. I've been out the past couple weeks. We had Easter Sunday last Sunday. The Sunday prior to that, it was Passover, so I took that Sunday off. And I'm back live in studio today, answering your questions, providing you financial advice in a language you can understand. Many of you have reached out over the past few weeks with a variety of questions that you've had for me. I've met many of you. I've met so many people over the past few weeks, actually. Some new appointments in the office, some phone calls that we've taken. So I want to share some of the conversations that have happened at our office and conversations amongst many of the people in the area so that you can be better informed and be better prepared as you plan your financial future. Like I said, we are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. I'm always here, happy to take your questions. If you want to call in, 800-370-1049. That's 800-370-1049. Don't worry if you don't call, that's okay. I won't feel bad. I won't. I've got plenty of things to talk about. But if you've got this burning question and you want to run it by me, 800-370-1049. Yeah, how about the Red Sox? They started off 0-3, and now they've won 5 in a row. So I guess they only do streaks. They only lose a whole bunch of games, and then they win a whole bunch of games. It should be interesting. But then again, who's really watching baseball these days? I really don't, to tell you the truth. I just happened to see the little, you know, headlines that come across my phone. Is anybody really watching the Red Sox? I mean, I'm not too excited about the fact that they've moved the All-Star game out of Atlanta. That was the most ridiculous thing ever, and moving it to Denver.
To Denver.
I mean, that is just absolutely insane, Biff. I just don't get it. Yet the Masters is okay to play their games in...
I want to know what the state of Georgia did.
Yeah,
To be ostracized by the President of the United States, and Major League Baseball can't have anything. And by the way, the draft won't be there either. It's two big hits.
Yeah, I mean,
what did they do now?
I have no idea. And well, it's the whole voting thing. It's the whole voting thing.
Requiring ID.
Like, well, I'm a big fan of requiring ID. I mean, you need an ID for
anything in this country. Anything.
But not to vote. But
I wonder why that would be.
I don't understand it. Now I'm not suggesting that there's a lot that there should be any that there's fraud or anything like that, even though there may be. I'm not suggesting that, but I do think what the heck is wrong with asking for identification for somebody that lives here legally in the United States? I mean, I just think that's going off the point.
I mean, just to prove that you're you. Okay, yeah. So go ahead and vote, Mark.
Right.
You're
you. Yeah, I know.
Well, I don't know, whatever.
But yeah. Whatever, I guess.
Moving
I can't.
On.
Yeah, exactly. So I can't really talk about that. I'll get myself in trouble, especially here in Massachusetts. That's always a problem. But nevertheless, we are here providing financial advice in a language you can understand. And when it comes down to financial advice, let's couple things that are real important. April 15th is approaching. But if you folks well know, that deadline has been extended. It is now May 15th.
Oh, I'm glad. See, I settled an argument and I lost.
Oh, you lost.
My wife said, it's been extended. I said April 15th. It hasn't been extended.
No, yeah, yeah.
No, all this forgiveness from last year is gone. This is 2021.
That's right. It is 2021.
So I was wrong. So thank you for
well,
that.
Well, but you're partially wrong.
Wow, he's coming to
my defense. So, yeah, so here we go. So your filing of your federal tax return and your state tax return has been extended to May 15th. However, if you make estimated tax payments, if you're one of those folks that make estimated tax payments, the first payment is still due on April 15th. That has not been extended. So,
but to be clear, for silly people like me who don't understand easily, so let's say you owed the government money.
Yep.
You wouldn't be due until May 15th.
That is correct.
Okay, not as in Wednesday.
Not as in, that's correct. However, if you are paying estimated taxes in advance for this current tax year.
This would be the quarter.
This was it, right. Yep. This would be the quarter.
So that's kind of apples and oranges.
That's exactly right. But people will confuse it. But yes, you have a little bit of extra time. And I'm, you know, I've been taught, we do a lot of business with a lot of accountants and, you know, we get their 1099s to them. And I will tell you, I asked the accountants, how do you feel about this extension? And, you know, they're kind of, they have see both sides of it. The reality is that they like their busy season to be done on April 15th. And remember last year it got stretched out to July, because of COVID. So I think they would like to see this thing slow down a little bit, but it did take people a while to get their proper tax information. We were still waiting for some answers on those that received unemployment income last year. And if you well know, if you collected an unemployment check last year, the first, I think it's $10,260 is free of tax. Anything over that, you, of course, have to pay tax on it. So a lot of rules that had to come into play as we settle in this year. So give your accountants a break. And oh, does Biff have a question?
I'm sorry. I'm being a big nuisance. I swear, will stop.
I love having you talk. I love talking to somebody, Biff. You know, 800-370-1049 if you don't want to hear Biff talk anymore.
He's forced to talk to Biff. Someone save this man. No, so my accountant told me that the federal government had passed that law, and he was holding my return waiting on the state of Massachusetts.
That's right.
And therefore,
and the state of Massachusetts is caught up, and so we are all connected. It's everything's all in play right now. So everything is matched up to the federal government. So they're not holding up your tax return anymore.
Very good. No. Actually, I've got it in. I didn't go back to him with the. So what was the outcome? You know what I mean? I didn't ask him. Well, what did the state of Massachusetts decide on?
Yeah, he just did your taxes.
Yeah, he just did my taxes.
Yeah. So you're all good.
Okay.
All right. So any more tax questions for me today, Biff?
No more
tax questions. Okay.
You can have your show back.
Thank you. So you know one thing that I want people to look at. You're probably getting your March 31st statement in the mail. You probably got it this week. Maybe you saw it online. And I want to warn everybody. Here's my warning. If your statement or your advisor or your broker or whomever it is that you work with reaches out to you and say, hey, we'd love to do a review of your accounts because they want to show you a one-year performance number. Because they want to say, you know, because that's, you know, we got to look back and say, how'd you do this year? You are going to be blown away by the performance. And that's because think about where we were on March 31st of last year. Last year, we were approaching the lowest point in the market. Actually, it was March 23rd, which was actually the lowest day in the market during COVID. So 7 days later, you're still looking at a very low point. And so basically, you're looking at a 45-degree angle that's moving up, especially if you were in the stock market. And it's not uncommon for you to see a one-year performance number in the 40% range. Yeah, in the 40% range or even more than that. And I don't want you to think that, oh my goodness, that's what I can get moving forward. What will be interesting to you is go back and ask your advisor, that's nice that you show me the one-year performance number. Show me the three-year performance number. And what you're going to see is that you're not getting 40% a year. But it's not, it wouldn't be surprising to me if you got on average 8 to 10% a year, which is really good, really, really, really good. You know, of course, it all depends on how your portfolio is structured. Do you have money in the stock market? Do you have money in the bond market? Do you have a mix? Everybody's portfolio is different. But I will tell you that the one-year performance number for most people, I can't say for all, but for most people is spectacular, far beyond your wildest dreams. But don't expect that to come back in the future. And so many people ask me, Mark, you know, with the stock market sitting at an all-time high, and it is right now sitting around an all-time high, What do you do? Should I be preparing differently? Should I be switching my portfolio up? What if I want to add more money? Should I be getting out of the market? What do I do? Well, first thing that starts, and I know you're going to hate that I'm going to say this, is it depends. It depends on your situation. And of course, the first thing that depends is what is going on in your financial life? What are your goals? Is your portfolio aligned with your goals? But let's try to step away from that. I know that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear some specific advice. I know that. So here's my thinking. If you need money, if you plan to touch some of the money in your investment account within the next 2 to 3 years, I would get that money out now. I would put it aside, get it out, pay the tax, put the money in the bank, and leave it there. Because I don't know what the next 2 or 3 years will look like. Now, am I optimistic about what the next 2 or 3 years will look like? Yeah, I am. I really, really am. But hey, I've been wrong before. I mean, we've all been wrong before. Who knows? Anything can happen, right? Now, you hear about the president suggesting that he's going to raise taxes, that income taxes are going to go up, capital gains taxes are going to change, the estate tax limitations might drop down a little bit, all of that kind of stuff. Do I react to that? Not at all. I don't react to that at all. Because as my father once said to me, and I'm sure he didn't come up with this line, stole it from somebody else. He says, there's two things you don't want to see get made, and that's laws and sausages. And what you're hearing right now is a lot of rhetoric from political sides that are trying to set the guardrails on what we're going to do. So for instance, you've heard President Biden come out and say he wants to have this infrastructure program, a once-in-a-generation, you know, plan where it's going to be $2-point-something trillion for this infrastructure plan. And then the Republicans come back and they say, we want an infrastructure plan too. We're very much in favor of an infrastructure plan, but we think we should spend around $600 billion. Well, now we've set the guardrails, right? We know that the Republicans aren't going to go less than 600. And the Democrats can't go higher than $2.3 trillion. We've set the guardrails. So now that we have the guardrails in place, now we have to figure out what has to come out of this enormous infrastructure program to actually call it an infrastructure program. It's kind of like, you know, some of these, the rules that got passed, these COVID programs that came out, the names are escaping me of what they were called. Where we got $1 trillion here, several hundred billion dollars there. And we realized that not all of it was used for COVID. Not all of it was used for vaccinations or health for the kids or whatever else it might have been. It might have been to fund, I don't know, raising pigs. I don't know what it was for. It could have been anything. But if you look inside these bills, you see all of the stuff that gets stuffed into these bills. They call it pork. You've heard this before. We're stuffing pork in the bill. And, you know, not Democratic and Republican parties, just all politicians are famous for this. And I think we owe it to the American people to be a bit more prudent about figuring out what it is that we want to place in a bill to make it a law so that it really helps the American people. It helps the country. So as we think back to this stock market question, what should we do? Should we be getting out? No, I don't think you should get out at all. In fact, we're making very few changes at Friedman Financial. Very few changes to our portfolios. Yes, we are rebalancing as necessary to make sure that there's the appropriate allocation of stocks to bonds, to cash, and the other asset classes that fall within that. We want to make those adjustments for you, but we're not freaking out. Now, some people will say, what if I have new money? What do I do if I have new money? What if I've just retired? What if I have to roll over my 401k? What do I do when I roll over this money, this new money? Where should I put it when the stock market is so high? Well, there's a good answer for that. And we're going to share that with you. When we're back, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Money, 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 money.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante Peabody.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we provide financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live all over the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the Southern New Hampshire area, and those that oftentimes snowbird down to Florida and some of the warmer regions. But it is getting warmer here. How about yesterday? I mean, yesterday was a beautiful day. Oh, it was just a great day. And then today you get outside and you go, it's not quite spring yet, isn't it? Oh, well. But we will get there. We will get there. And the tulips are starting to bloom. We're starting to see the crocuses starting to pop up, the buds on the trees. The pollen's in the air. We can expect those yellow streets and our yellow windshields coming soon. All sorts of things to look forward to. But here I am in studio. It's Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. And we are talking about all sorts of things related to money. When I last left you, I was getting ready to answer the question, what do you do if you have new money that you want to invest, yet the stock market is sitting at an all-time high? What do you do? Well, I'm going to tell you what we're doing for many of our clients. Now, remember, let me try to classify what our clients look like, because we are not dealing with 21-year-olds or even 35-year-olds who are looking to amass, to start putting money away, $100 a month or whatever it might be. Our typical clients are over the age of 55. Sometimes, many of them are much older than that. They are either approaching retirement or they're in retirement. And so the decisions that they're looking to make are saying to themselves, wow, it was fun for a while trying to manage my 401k, put money aside, trying to give advice to my kids, all that kind of stuff. But now it's time to get serious, because I'm about to approach a period of time where my job is going to stop, or I'm going to want to retire. I'm not going to have a paycheck anymore. So I'm going to have to rely on either my Social Security check, a pension check, and draw money from the dollars that I've accumulated, maybe in my 401k plan, maybe in my personal savings account, maybe in an inheritance that I received, maybe, lots of different places where you could draw it from, but you got to figure out, how am I going to replace that paycheck? Because the paycheck's about to stop. And so oftentimes we begin to meet with folks who are approaching retirement and they're saying, oh, I got this money in my 401k, and now that I'm no longer working, I've been told I need to take that 401k, not that you have to, but I'd like to roll my 401k over to an IRA or some type of retirement account, that, and look at all of the other money that I have and figure out a way that I can replace my paycheck. Well, if you're moving money from a 401k, your 401k money is likely already invested, and perhaps it's done pretty well over the past couple of years, but when you roll it to an IRA, it doesn't come over what's called in kind, as is, as the same investments that it was in. It's actually cashed out. So if you call Fidelity, for instance, Fidelity Net Benefits, or Transamerica or Empower or any of these places where they are custodians for a retirement account and you want to roll it over to an IRA, they basically tell you, well, today when you call in or when you fill out the form, you're going to take this IRA and we're going to draw it down to cash at the end of the close of business. And now we're going to mail you a check. And that check will come to you, not paid, made payable to you, usually made payable to your custodian, which could be LPL Financial. It could be Salem 5. It could be it could be Merrill Lynch. It could be Charles Schwab. It could be Fidelity. It doesn't matter. And it says, for instance, Fidelity Investments for the benefit of Mark Friedman or whatever name you want to. Well, it would be your name. Not, you can't just put any name on there. And so you get this check. So now you have to put it into your IRA. And so you say, all right, I just cashed this thing out at the all-time high. How do I get the money back invested in a prudent manner? Well, that's a question a lot of people are asking because you're worried. And it's money that's going to provide you income for the rest of your life. So here's the approach that we've been taking. For most of our clients who are approaching retirement or are in retirement, the portfolios that we're setting up for you place about 60 to 65% of your money into the stock market. Now, when I say the stock market, I'm not buying individual stocks. We're buying mutual funds. We're buying exchange-traded funds. So you get plenty of diversification, a lot of risk balancing that goes on here. We buy big companies and small companies and mid-sized companies and value companies and growth companies and international companies, all that stuff. So 65% of your money gets allocated to that side. Not completely, but just let's just hold it there. 65% will ultimately be in that stock side. The 35%, the remaining, goes into what are called fixed income securities or securities that primarily pay interest rather than focus on growth. So we can call those bonds if you'd like. And so 65% in the stock market, 35% in the bond market. Now, as you well know, interest rates are quite low right now. In fact, go to the bank and see what you're getting on your savings account or even a 1 or 2 year CD. It's pitiful, right? It's less than pitiful. It's worse than pitiful. It's basically nothing. So if you know you're going to put money into the fixed income side and you're not going to get much in the way of interest, you either say to yourself, do I want to put more in the stock market or do I want to take a little bit of risk on the fixed income side? And how do we measure that risk? So here's what we do. Let's say you had $100,000 that you were going to invest. We would take the $35,000, 35% of your $100,000 and immediately allocate it into the investments that we would place on what's called the bond side or the fixed income side. That immediately goes in because I don't have any, I really don't have too much of a worry over the long time, term about those investments. Yeah, there'll be a tiny little bit of wobbling, but it's minor. It really is minor. Unless, of course, we have a COVID-19 or another pandemic or something like that where the bond market, just so you know what happened in the bond market a year ago, even bonds dropped. They dropped significantly for a very, very, very short period of time. Within 30 days, they had rebounded back to where they were. But for a short time, they did drop in value. Not worth panicking over, and we advised our clients properly, but it went down quickly and then came back up quickly. So I'm not worried about investing money into the bonds fully. However, on the stock side, I don't know the direction of the stock market. Do you? I mean, I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen. We can all speculate. We can all say to ourselves, how is it possible that the stock market continues to go up like this? Well, I got all sorts of reasons why it's going up and why it will continue to go up. But nevertheless, I don't know what the best place is to invest my money if I had an opportunity to put it back into the stock market. So what we do is we set up a 5-month plan. We take 20% of the money that we were going to allocate to your stock portfolio, your stock side, which is, remember, mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, index funds, not individual stocks. And we put 1/5 invested in right now. The remaining 4/5 go into what's called an ultra-short-term bond fund. It's something that's in a teeny tiny baby step outside of cash. So maybe you're getting 1% on your money, but it's something. It's sitting there. You might not even get 1%. It's a place to put it. And then once a month for the next following 4 months, we will pull an amount of money out equal to what we put in the first time and add it to the investments that you are in. So we're doing something that's called dollar cost averaging, putting money into an investment over a period of time, 5 months, same amount of money into the same funds, and we're just finding an average buy-in price. I don't care whether the market's up or down or whatever, but we will, instead of making it mechanical, and this is what the difference between working with a firm like ours and working with a computer-operated investment program is we will, instead of waiting to do it the 5th of every month, let's say on May 1st, the stock market drops 2.5%. I might accelerate the second buy for you. We'll say, hey, we had an opportunity to get in. Now, was it the lowest point? I don't know. But we're going to use something that's a little bit more thoughtful. Take an educated approach and get the money in. So at the end of the 5 months, we're going to take, remember, each month we're going to take some money out of that ultra short-term bond fund, throw it into your stock portfolio, that allocation, so that at the end of 5 months, you will now have your fully invested portfolio. Now, should we expect great returns in the first couple months? No. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And here's the problem. Oftentimes people are wondering, what did I get this month? What did I do this week? You're looking at your app. You're looking at your computer. You're wondering, how did I do today? Stop that. Stop that. Because remember, when you went to invest, when we want to invest, we're always looking at, what's the performance of this fund over the past, last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Yet, you want to look at how your performance of your fund did yesterday. How is that fair to the portfolio manager? How is that fair to anybody if you were basing the decision to buy an investment based on the 5, 10, and 15-year performance, yet you're judging the performance of your fund based on yesterday or this past week or this past month or quarter or year, for that matter? We got to give it time. And that's one of the things that we do as a financial advisor. One of the, you know, I've always said this, and I'll say it again on the radio, investing is easy. Don't let Cramer or Susie Orman or any of the talking heads on television lead you to believe that investing is hard. Investing is easy. The hardest part is staying rational during emotional times. And that's what people can't seem to do. The average investor, if you go back, Dalbar, which is a huge company that does a lot of research on how investors invest their money. They take a look at how the average investor, the person that doesn't use a financial advisor, the person that does it on their own, what is their average rate of return over the past 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years? Do you know what that average rate of return is? 2.9%. 2.9%. Why is that? You know why? Because all we want to talk about is the stocks and the investments that do really, really well. And we never want to talk about the stuff that did lousy. Nor do we want to talk about the fact that much of your portfolio sometimes is in cash because you want it to get out. And you have to look at the big picture of how you're investing in your portfolio, not just talk about your favorite investments. But 2.9% is the average rate of return for an investor who does this on their own. And you'll say, well, it's not me. Not me. I'm so much better than that. Of course you did, because you're just thinking about your stock portfolio and not the massive amount of cash that you leave in the bank. We have to think about the big picture, because when it comes down to trying to figure out what your average rate of return is, you need to look at all of the liquid assets that are available to you, all of the money that's available to you, to figure out what your return really was. Now, if you're saying I'm averaging 15 to 18% a year, you're full of it. You really, really are, because, you know, here's the truth. The best investors in the world, Warren Buffett. Did 15%. He'll even tell you he hasn't done that in some years. But his average rate of return, and if you're doing 15%, if you're doing better than Warren Buffett, good for you. Well, you know what? Set up your own investment shop and start giving advice to others, because you're full of it if you really think that you're doing on average 15% a year. Yeah, last year, big hero. Everybody, I did double-digit returns. Look, if you pull out your one-year performance return for last year, there will be people that did 100% return, because we're starting at the lowest point last March. Typical portfolios that had about a 60, 40% allocation last year did, get this. I mean, it's a huge number, 40-something percent. Now, is that really your return? Is that really your return? Come on. 1 year, March to March. Now, if I change that up and just go January to January or June to June, you're going to get a totally different return. We stretch it out over 3 years. It gets to be a more of an average. You stretch it over to 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. We begin to average ourselves out. Now, how are you managing that performance number? Do you have the actual tools to give yourself a fair investment performance number? that's one of the things that's dangerous, too, because here's one of the things that you might be very interested in. Did you know that financial advisors are prohibited from making up performance statements for their clients? So if you ask your financial advisor for a performance statement and they're just calculating something on a spreadsheet or they're just creating it, that's not accurate. That's prohibited. You need to have an AIMR standard, an industry standard calculation that's taking the true values, the daily values of your investments, and putting it together. So there are programs out there. We have one, of course, in our office that is an AIMR-approved program that calculates the performance of your investments over any period of time. But it's not something that I'm doing on a spreadsheet or a yellow pad. And if your advisor is providing that to you as your performance numbers, I don't know if I trust that. And you may find your advisor getting their hand slapped by their compliance department and having to pull those reports because, and frankly, if you wanted to turn your advisor in or get them in trouble, you didn't like them. That's not you could do that too, but I didn't tell you that out loud. Actually, I just did on the radio. So anyways, so now that I've got myself a little bit into trouble, but I've provided you with some financial advice in a language you can understand, we're going to take a quick break. But before we do, I want to remind you about our newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning, lands right in your inbox. We have over 7,500 subscribers. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name and your email address, and boom, you will get our free newsletter where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. When we get back, I want to talk to you a little bit about some college discussions that we've been having with my son and college discussions that are going around. A lot of people are getting their acceptances into colleges. They're making some decisions. And some kids who are graduating are thinking about, what am I going to do for a job? We're going to talk about all of that and more when we're back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, Financial.com. Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local Program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody. Reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante Peabody. Make the money, don't let the money
make you change again. Don't let the game change. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. I'm not used to the hip hop music, and I gotta learn how to do that, I guess. Thanks. It's great suggestion there, Beth. Thanks.
Didn't mean to scare you.
You scared me. I didn't know what was coming there. That was good. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm live in studio today, right here in Studio A, I guess it is, here at North Shore 104.9's offices right here on Enon Street in Beverly. Hope you're all doing well. What a great day it was yesterday. It is a little chilly out today. Hey, I got to tell you something fun that's going on. If you've got nothing going on, if you're sitting around the house and thinking to yourself, geez, what should I do this afternoon? Well, I got an idea for you. So I got to tell you a little story. So last Saturday, I decided to try something, and I posted something on Facebook. I said, you know, I'm looking for something different to do. I'm sick and tired of playing my piano in the four walls of my house. All I've been doing it during COVID is play the piano, play the piano, play the piano. That's what I do to just kind of relax and get away. I play Elton John stuff, Billy Joel stuff. And I posted on Facebook saying, hey, I'm looking to get out there and see if I could play the piano at an area restaurant, a pub, anywhere, and entertain the crowds. I know we can't sing right now. That's not allowed here in Massachusetts. But get out there, and if you have a piano or I can bring my keyboard, I'd love to come out. I don't want to get paid. Just get out and play somewhere. Well, that idea just took off, and I got inundated with calls from area restaurants, area food establishments, catering companies, even entertainment companies who wanted to hire me to play cocktail parties and stuff, and no one's ever heard me play a note of music. Well, Friday, last 2 days ago, I ended up playing my first gig at the Ipswich Tavern in Ipswich. Got to play that for a few hours over there, and tonight, or today, if you're around, if you want to come say hello, go for some music, get some great food, actually, I'm playing at Brody's Seaport in Salem, Massachusetts. Now, Brody's, as you well know, has some of the best steak tips around. They've got some great food, great entertainment facility. Usually you can perform outside, too, but I don't know if the patio's open just yet, but I'll be there from 4:30 to 7 today. If you want to swing by, say hello, I'll play you some songs, and just so you know, so here, the funniest thing, so I'm at the Ipswich Tavern on Friday, and I'm playing Billy Joel, Maroon 5, Lionel Richie, Elton John, all sorts of different stuff, and the busboy comes over to me, and he says, hey, Mark, he says, can you play Beethoven's Fifth? Beethoven's Fifth? This is an Irish pub where people are drinking Bud Lights and doing whiskey shots, and they want me to play, and he wants me to play Beethoven's Fifth. And so I said, look, I'm sorry. I don't know that that's the appropriate music for this place. And second of all, I don't read music. So, no, I don't do any classical music at all. And so, you know, I'm taking requests, right? And so the second request that comes in from this guy, it's a nice young couple that's sitting at the bar, and the guy comes over to me. He's got to be, I don't know, late 20s. He says, could you play Moonlight Serenade? Moonlight Serenade? I mean, that's what you play at a nursing home when you have someone offers you up the piano to play as a volunteer. So, no, I'm not going to play Moonlight Serenade. That's not for this crowd. I stuck with my music. But if you want to come and hear some piano music that's not classical, come join me over at Brody's Seaport today from 4:30 to 7 o'clock. Anyways, I told you when we got back, I would talk a little bit about colleges. Now, as you know, my son Corey was in a couple weeks ago. Corey got accepted to Babson. Great story about how he got in. But Corey, all of Corey's friends and kids that we've known are all starting to make their decisions on where they want to go. And some kids are getting into their first choices. Some aren't. Some are struggling. How much of a loan should I take? How much of, they're having that conversation with the parents of what can the parents afford? And one of Corey's friends was hoping to go to Emerson College, and he got in to Emerson College. But he also got into UMass. And his parents are saying, you know, we'd love for you to be able to go to Emerson, which was his first choice, but we can't afford Emerson, but we can afford UMass. And he's really struggling. He's trying to figure out how can he do this. He'd like to go to Emerson, but he really knows it's not possible. And I talked to him, and I said, you know, one of the things that people have to realize is as much as you might want to go to the school that, you know, that your dream school, sometimes it's just frankly not affordable, and you can get a great education at a lot of schools. But when you graduate, no one asks you, where did you go freshman year of college? When you graduate, your diploma says the school where you graduated from, not the school from where you started. For instance, when I was a kid, I got into both, I applied to Babson, to Bryant, to Bentley, to University of Hartford, and University of Massachusetts. And guess what? I got into two of those schools, and it was University of Hartford and University of Massachusetts. None of the business schools that I wanted to go to, but that's where I wanted to be. And so University of Hartford was probably 40 or 50% more than it was to go to University of Massachusetts. My father made me a deal, and he said, Mark, if you go to UMass, I'll buy you a car. No. You're going to spend $2,500 on a used car. But if you go to UMass, at University of Hartford, you're going to have to go there and it's going to cost more money. So I took the option of going to UMass and the car. And I had a great experience for 2 years, but I realized I wanted to be in a smaller school. So just like this gentleman who's a friend of Corey's, I thought, how about around my junior year, I reapplied to the schools that I didn't get into, the business schools, the places where I wanted to go, where in your junior and senior year, that's where you get the real education around your major, because your freshman and sophomore year, you're having to take all the prerequisite courses, all of the liberal arts courses, all of the stuff that's mandatory to take early on. And so I transferred and got into both Bentley and to Babson. I didn't apply to Bryan. I applied just to Bentley and to Babson. And I got into Babson. And I thrived at Babson. And I graduated with a diploma that says I graduated from Babson College, even though I only went to Babson for 2 years, and I went to UMass for 2 years. And I've told this to Corey's friend, that maybe it's not affordable to go to Emerson for 4 years, but maybe it could be affordable or more affordable or even palatable to have to pay for Emerson for 2 years. And you go to UMass, because he got a nice scholarship to UMass too. Go to UMass for a couple of years, accumulate some money, save some money, and if you're still passionate about going to Emerson, transfer. And you can do that. And I'm encouraging more and more people to do this. You see, there's a lot of students that are out there that are going to these colleges, these private schools, and oftentimes I think they're doing it because mom and dad want to announce that their kid is going to this private university. And for the most part, the kids, you know, it sounds nice, but they really don't care. They don't know. They have no idea. Look, I look at my son, Noah. My son, Noah. And you've heard Noah's music here on the radio. Noah's been on here. And Noah was like top 10 in his class coming out of North Andover. Noah's dream school to go to was Tufts. He applied their early decision, and Noah got rejected. They said, sorry, don't even apply regular admission. They just said, sorry. And Noah was devastated. Now remember, this was during the beginning of COVID, and Noah had set his hopes on Tufts. And so he wanted to go out and starting to look at schools, and you really couldn't because nothing was open last year. So he looked around and he started applying to other schools. And he applied to Northeastern, he applied to Bucknell, he applied to. He applied to University of Rochester, to Carnegie Mellon, to a whole bunch of other schools. Not going to any of these schools, didn't know anything about these schools. And he gets accepted into a bunch of them. And he decides he's going to go to University of Rochester. Never once even visiting the campus. Never once visiting the campus. He didn't know. And he went there because of the program, not because of the cost, because of the particular program that they had. And they had an exceptional a cappella program there too, and he likes to do a cappella. But I'm telling you, when your kids are thinking about school, I want you to think about what is it that they want to do rather than where they want to go. And are you trying to push your kids or encourage your kids to go to a school so that you can announce on Facebook that your kid got into X, Y, or Z school when maybe that's not where they want to go? You see, one of the things that I tell kids when they're thinking about college is it sounds great to say, I got to get out of Massachusetts. I want to go where it's warm. I want to go to the other part of the country, or I want to go down south. Ask them this. When's the last time you weren't feeling well? When's the last time you had a sore throat, or you had the flu, or you hurt yourself, or whatever it might have been, and you needed mom and dad around to help you out? I want you to think about what you're going to do when you've got the flu, when you've got a concussion, when you've got a hangover, when you're not feeling so well. What are you going to do if you're not near home? Mom and dad can't hop on a plane and come down and make you chicken soup. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And do you have the discipline? Do you have the independence to take care of yourself? That's a big thing. What I'm finding these days is that a lot of kids have been so reliant on mom and dad that they don't know how to take care of themselves. They don't know how to do anything for themselves. It's called adulting. That's the term that people have been using. Adulting. Do they know how to do their laundry? Do they know what to tell the barber when they go to get a haircut? Do they know how to make dinner for themselves? Do they know how to do anything? Now, some of you might say, of course my kids know how to do that. And frankly, my kids do. My kids know how to do it. Do they know how to calculate the tip if they go out for dinner? Do they know how to pump gas into their car? Do they know how to change the windshield washer fluid in their car? I'm not saying change the oil, just adding windshield washer fluid. Do they know how to iron? Do they know how to change a tire? Those are basic skills that most kids don't know how to do. So if your kid is planning on going to a school that is further than 30 or 45 minutes from your house, I would ask yourselves, how well have I done teaching my kids some adulting skills? Because you don't want them in crisis mode crying because they don't know what to do when they got into a car accident. Or they fell and their arm is bleeding. They don't have mommy to take care of it. When they're closer, when they're not feeling well, and especially, you know, I mean, I know I'm going on a little rant here, but you know, we've got the cupcake generation right now, right? And their feelings were hurt. And they don't get along with their roommate, or someone said something insensitive to them. They can't come home if they're far away. And you may say, great, that's nice. Let them learn. Let them figure it out. But you're going to ache as a parent. So I think it's important for you to have that conversation with your kids as to what are they going to do? What do they really need? Is it important to get away? How important is it to get away? These are the real college discussions. These are the ones that matter, because you want your kid, if you're going to spend money, you want them to succeed at school. Because if they don't, you just threw money out the window and they come home and they quit halfway through. You want them to do well. So let's put them in the environment where they can do the best. That's financial advice in a language you can understand. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Dollars and Cents. You're listening to it on North Shore 104.9.
Message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polano Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polano Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polano Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
As you prepare for retirement, we know that your financial hopes and dreams are important to you. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? You need a plan. A plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced, and we're fiduciaries. We listen, we collaborate, and we deliver a plan that helps you sleep at night. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us to ask why and how and what if. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're doing well. It is a kind of a miserable Monday, Sunday out. It was yesterday. It was beautiful, wasn't it? Oh, my goodness. It was great. That would have been a great day to go to the ballpark and see the Red Sox play, but actually, they had a great day in Baltimore, where they won again in the ninth inning. So it was nice to see them pull off five in a row. The Red Sox have won. The Celtics are interesting. They've been up and down. You never know what you're going to get from the Celtics, but they have been a fun team to watch. The Bruins, I got nothing for you. I know they're playing, but I have not watched how they're playing at all. But I see Biff hitting a button there. Biff, do you have something to provide here?
Yeah, the Bruins have been up and down.
Bruins have been up and down.
You know, they lost a bad game yesterday to the Philadelphia Flyers. And they have the first place Washington Capitals today. So yesterday that win would have been really important because it's probably going to be a loss today. But who knows? You never know.
Who knows? Well, thanks for the sports update.
Well, there you go.
Appreciate that. So
you can have your show back.
No, I don't mind. I love having Biff pop in with the stuff that I don't know. He is my he's the other side of my brain here. You know, just reminding me what else I need to know. Right.
Well, the stuff that Biff knows that Mark doesn't know, you could fit in a very small jar. Very small jar.
Well, thanks, Biff. Anyways, hey, I want to let you know that, you know, Friedman Financial is the firm that I own, where we provide financial planning and investment and management advice to individuals and families all across the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley. We actually have a job opening. So never actually mentioned this on radio. I mean, it's certainly available on LinkedIn and you can find it there. But we're not looking for a financial planner. We're looking for somebody to support our administrative staff. And if you've got a little bit of background in finance and maybe you've worked in a financial institution before, you know a little bit about personal financial planning. You don't need to know much because we can show you what's going on. But if you'd like to explore the opportunity of joining our team, we do have an opening. And if it's something you'd like to consider, send me your resume. It's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. You know how to spell the last part. Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Drop me a note. Or if you'd like, just go to LinkedIn if you want and check out the job opening that's available. You can actually also find it on our website. You can see that we have a couple openings that are available, but this administrative job is something that we're looking to fill. We're not replacing anybody. Our staff is staying the same. We are just deepening our bench. And if it's something that you'd like to get out and do, I mean, I see this as a great opportunity for an adult who is no longer having to take care of the kids at home. You know, they're now in high school or they're on their own and they're saying, you know, I want to get back out in the workforce. And this is not a very high pressure job, but it's a very it's a very intense job when you're there because there's a lot of balls to juggle in the air. Your confidentiality, of course, is critical. Attention to detail is very, very important. If you got a good basic sense of how to use the computers and you're comfortable with computers, if you got a pleasant voice, because you'll need to answer the phone sometimes, though we do have Jody answers the phone for us as our first point of contact. You'd be like the second point of contact when the phone rings. But you'd be supporting our entire team. So if it's something of interest to you, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. But more importantly, send me your resume. Reach out to me because I'm going to be the one that's doing the interviewing. It's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Just send me the email and we'll do this. So, you know, oftentimes people will come to the office and they'll wonder, how am I doing compared to everybody else? That is like that is a tough question to answer. Because put this into perspective. A report just came out that in order to be among the 50% most wealthy people in America, if you want to be, there's 330 some odd million people in America, right? If you want to be amongst the 50% most wealthy, you need a net worth of, you ready for this? $122,000. If you have a net worth greater than $122,000, now that includes your home, money in the bank, your 401k, your investment account, cash value of life insurance, variable annuities, whatever else it might be that you might have. Remember, what is net worth? Everything you own, you add it all up, everything you own, and subtract out everything you owe. Oh, and by the way, you might be thinking, well, that's just for individuals. No, I need to modify what I just said. You would be amongst the 50% most wealthy households, not individuals, households. And a household is the mailbox. Everything that comes into the mailbox at the end of your driveway. If there's four of you living there, two of you living there, it's everybody's collective net worth. If that collective net worth is over $122,000, you were amongst the 50% most wealthy people in America. You feeling it? So let me try to clarify this. Let me try to put this out there also. Many people, you know, we'll put together their net worth statements. We do this in our office. In order, before we do any type of investing for our clients, we want to look at everything in their financial life. Make sure we know where everything is and what everything is worth. Because that's what it means to be a fiduciary. So we build a net worth statement for you. Well, we talk about the one percenters, the richest people in America. You hear that term a lot. What does it mean to be part of the 1%? Well, part of the 1% means that you're making more than $440,000 as a household. Now, that's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. That is a lot of money to be part of the 1%. But to be part of the 5%, you got to be making as a household more than $250,000. And now we're talking about a lot of families that can make $250,000, especially if there's two people living in the house. You want to be part of the top 10%? Make over $125,000. $125,000 makes your household amongst the top 10% most wealthy families in America. Now, I don't like to measure wealth by income. I think that is a terrible way to measure someone's wealth. I mean, think about all of the professional athletes that sign these huge contracts, $100 million contract for 10 years. And you go, oh, they are just wealthy. Of course they are. I mean, that seems like there's a lot of money. But why is it that so many of these athletes find themselves in bankruptcy? Some of them having to bag groceries after their career in the NBA or the NFL or the Major League Baseball. It's because they don't manage their money well. They spend it. They spend it and they spend it. So I like to measure wealth by what it is that you keep rather than what it is that you make. And I want you to think about this point. As kids are graduating college this upcoming year, they're going to be faced with having to make a decision as to what job they'll take. And many schools will talk about what the average salary is that a graduate gets out of their school. And sometimes it's an ego thing for the kids to talk about the job that they got and the salary that they're going to get on their first job. I will tell you this, and I told this to my daughter, Mindy. My daughter, Mindy, took a job working for an investment company, Eaton Vance, in their training program. And she was probably in the lowest 10% of salaried income earners by taking this job. And she was almost embarrassed that she was going to take this kind of a salary instead of what the average earnings were coming out of school. And I said, Mindy, there's a few things you need to know. Number one, this training program is professional and you're going to get your license is taken care of. You're going to learn a lot. And the upward projections of earnings are going to be huge. You just got to pay your dues. Well, there's other people that will make more than the industry average, but for the rest of their lives, they'll be stuck in a 3% salary increase forever. And she did it. And I said, and the other thing that you have to remember, Mindy was fortunate when she graduated college, she didn't have any student loans. And kids that graduate from school, if they're getting a nice salary, part of their salary might have to go back to paying off student loans. So at the end of the day, her net pay, after a lot of folks pay for their student loans, could be about the same. And at first, Mindy struggled with it. And then she understood it. And she worked hard, and she got a promotion. And then she got recruited by another company. And then she got another promotion. And recently, she got another promotion. And now I would guess, though I don't know, that Mindy's income probably is probably in the top 90 to 95% of income earners from her graduating class. Because she paid her dues early. She learned a lot. She didn't get stuck in a rut. So I want you to encourage your kids. If there's an opportunity for them to learn and get trained and get licensed, it's okay to take less money than what their friends are making because the upward projections for them being able to make more and being more marketable are far better. That, my friends, is once again financial advice in a language you can understand. We got to get out of here. I got to make room for Scott Whitley, and I'm heading over to Brody Seaport at 4:30 today playing piano. If you want to come see me, I'll be there from 4:30 to 7 o'clock. I will not be here next Sunday. I'm taking this Sunday off. After that, we will be back live in studio. We'll play a best of show. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great day. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior entire show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.